Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, indeed.
And our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. It's time to celebrate. And how are you going to do that? Alone, with a partner, with a friend, with a crowd, with a party? Have a celebration. All right, and here is our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hi, this is Sharon calling in Barbados.
Hi, Sharon. How was your celebration?
Well, I had a grand plan to make this recipe that I've been wanting to make for a long time. It's been sitting on the counter for the whole week. And also to spend some time in my new cookbook, which I just love. And I didn't do any of it. I didn't do it because I just couldn't seem to take the time for it. That was really one of the biggest issues for me on this session focus, was the whole thing around time. You know, I mean, the just to eat without doing something else. You know, like even listening to radio show, or you know, reading recipes or whatever. I just found that, for me, that was a challenge. Although I have been doing some meals without doing something else. So I have made a little progress.
So, Sharon, let me ask you this. Is that what you picked as where you suffer? So, differently said, I want to work on this place where being distracted while I eat, I receive self-hating messages for. Is that how you got to that particular place as the focus for you this month?
That really wasn't the focus, no. There were other,
But that's what you're noticing.
But that surfaced.
That surfaced, And do you have a sense of, you said that wasn't the focus, so I project that's not what you did the voices and the personalities and the self-hating messages around. But do you have a sense of what it is? What is it that overrides?
Hello,
Ashwini, did we?
Sharon, can you hear me?
There you are.
Yes, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, someone came in and said, my input is invalid. Talk about a voice that has no opinion. do you have a sense of what is the underlying sort of message or program that keeps you from just doing something like the recipe that you wanted to cook, or not being able to be there for your food, and that time is that element, not enough time, not allowed to have exclusive time, it sounds like, for anything that you choose or that you love to do?
Well, it's more about getting everything done so then I can do the things that I love to do.
There's always going to be time somewhere in the future where there's time for Sharon and what she wants to do, because that has to be postponed until everything that has to be done gets done. It's such a universal ego process, right? We prioritize the human being last.
Yeah, it's true, and it's chronic. It's karma.
Yes, and that's the karma that we're trying to get at through this process, right? That place of that we get sacrificed, a life gets sacrificed. Because even if I do everything that I feel responsible to doing, then the payoff at the end is not that what a great job you did, Sharon, how well and how productively you lived your life. It's, and you didn't get to do anything you love to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a no-win.
It kills the celebration, right? It kills the celebration of being alive. What you do is not celebrated, and what you didn't do is mourned or regretted.
True. I'm trying, I mean, just really trying to be present, live from presence, and, you know, and I've even found that I have begun to have a little space around my scurrying around and letting go of some things that, you know, I just feel they have to be done, or, you know, I've heard other people use this word, which I haven't used, standards, you know, that I need to achieve. Yeah. Now I'm seeing where that comes from.
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing, Sharon, is that you didn't make the recipe yesterday, but you could today. Because once you've seen that, oh, that's how I am talked out of the celebration by being told I don't have the time to it. Yeah, so conditioning succeeded yesterday because I had a plan to do something, and then life, within quotes, got in the way, or ego got in the way, because genuinely sometimes we don't actually have the what we have to confront may not allow us to get around to doing what we plan to do. But that if there's a way in which, if you think of Sharon as someone you love, as someone who's so eager to do this thing that she loves, then to be able to step out of being the person driven to do, to say, okay, let's work out how we can do this. Not on a timing or a schedule that ego wants to drive me towards. Oh, you didn't do it, and yesterday was the day to celebrate, so celebration is barred from you for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. To just go, okay, didn't do it yesterday, but maybe I can, maybe let's look at how I can do it today.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because it kind of loosens that grip a little bit, you know, and it isn't about, you know, the self-hate for not having done it, or the overwhelming sadness of the loss of a life, you know,
that's kind of
sneaks in a little, I don't know, a plan B or something. So that sounds pretty good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm so glad you said it, right? Because that sadness is something we can get trapped in the vortex, that vortex of regret and, oh, my God, I can never, despair. And that's such a self-hating place, because it denies what is possible, which is, and make self-hate so much more powerful than it is. Because I go, okay, I didn't make the recipe. Today's a new day. I could make the recipe today. Mm-hmm. But if we are caught in that, oh, my God, I can never do this, and I'm always, and my life is over, and I wasn't there for it, and I have only small moments of presence, then what the insight that you had, okay, I'm talked out of doing what I love to do because of the time, because time is the way in which it talks me out of that, and productivity and postponement, that's what my behavior changes. I'm just not going to postpone the celebration. Let me do that.
Yeah, that sounds really good. It kind of lightens everything up. You know, instead of thinking, oh, this is so horrible, what do I need to do to change myself? Maybe I need to go back into therapy. You know, it just goes heavier and heavier,
exactly.
You know. So I'm glad to be able to lighten it up, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
And anything you want to cook for yourself, right? Because it doesn't even have to be that recipe. Okay, I have an hour. What would I like to do to celebrate now?
Okay, yeah. That sounds good, yeah. All right, well, thank you so much, Ashwini. I really appreciate your your feedback and your perspective. All right. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Chris. You too.
Yeah. Thank you, Sharon. Joanie, that seems really critical to get, that what we're doing is awareness practice. And mm-hmm. so something like a celebration is really content. You know, everything we're doing is really aimed at revealing the processes by which conditioning can keep us captive. And
that's
so
right.
even in this kind of a situation, it's not about the celebration. So if I come away from something like this just seeing where the work is, for me, you know, it comes right back to, well, that's a place of kindness. That's a place of celebration. That's a place of gratitude, all the things we've been looking at these last few days. And then that
Brilliant.
Openness really does let us move on from there in a way that self-hate can't take over the practice or get us into those dark places Sharon was indicating.
Yes, seeing is the celebration.
Wait, that's a great way to say it. Yeah, seeing is the celebration. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And so we can't lose in that.
Mm-mm. And I think that's what self-hate doesn't want us to see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They can pin that loser designation on us
if
we're in the dark, if we're not careful. Yeah, but only for so long if we're participating, right? So, okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Chris and Ashwini. It's Karen from California.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. So I love what was just said about seeing is the celebration, because for me, I've loved this focus on food, and I've been just taking this incredible care of the body with food, and it's been amazing. And the celebration is, I mean, I did celebrate yesterday. I went to a really uplifting film, a documentary about a group of women that were embodying all the things I would love to embody. And
uh-huh.
it was really, really fun. But the real celebration is that for the past, it's kind of the payoff of the whole month for the past week and a half, there is this continual sense of being in the body, which is something, I'm one of those people that can go to a retreat and about day three, I'll say, oh, wow, I'm in my body, not realizing I hadn't been in my body,
mm-hmm.
but right now there's just this continual felt sense of being in the body, and it's just so joyful, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so there was a celebration, which was a uplifting movie, right? That there,
yeah.
And I project that the celebration is because in watching these women, you were embodying what you hoped or wished to embody, because otherwise it wouldn't be reflected for you. So there was a celebration, but the real celebration being that sense of the focus allows you to be continually present in your body, tuned to your body, to the intelligence that animates the body. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Yeah, for me, it's just, oh my gosh, it's just where I want to live. It's, and it just, it so reinforces, you know, how I want to live. And just, you know, it's for me, the body's been a journey, and I'm projecting it is for a lot of people, and just seeing what a role that what a role that plays, and how there are things that can be so healing, and it just feels so cared for, and anyway, a wonderful focus for me. I could spend a whole year of just keep doing this one focus over and over and over.
And you don't have to stop. And that's possible, right, Karen?
Yeah.
Excuse me. So what I was saying, what you were saying is we live in the body. I mean, we do live in the body. except that we don't if attention is on a conversation. So even though we inhabit a body, all of the attention, as I said, is on the conversation. So I don't have an experience of being the body that I live in. And so when we change the attention to be on the body, we're actually in touch with an enormous source of intelligence. Yeah. And so a relationship of attention on the body, what we do to take care of it, what we put in it, what it gives back to us, that's almost a life conversation. And I don't mean the whole of life, but a conversation with life. Because it's so real.
Yeah.
And rewarding is what I think you also said.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's so rewarding. And there's a whole bunch more about it, but, but I already saw the assignment for today where we get to, I get to record all of that. So that's what I'll do.
Yes.
I'll be joyfully recording what I've seen this month. So,
yeah.
What I've learned. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. Hold on here. I think I've got her muted there. That just seems so universally applicable, Ashwini, that attention on the body just has universal application, that from that vantage point, then the portal is open for all of the aspects of life to come through in all the varying colors. So can't go wrong with that on any of the explorations that we do.
Yes, and as Karen pointed out, we don't have to lose the focus. So interesting. We were looking at it in group last night, that there's a way in which everything we focus on in this retreat is already an aspect of our life, right? Self-care and relationships and finances. It's not like you stop doing finances just because the focus changes. And so there's a way in which revealing what it is that we're suffering over in a particular content area and then transcending that through a behavior change allows us to just carry that behavior change, because what we live in is an expanded awareness. All of it can be practiced all of the time, since awareness is all of it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just live in that place of behavior change all the time, right? We're tuned into how suffering is caused, kind of where those places are in ourselves as the focus shifts from each of these topics. And then, as I discover those, encounter those, then I get very good at applying the behavior changes in just the right places and just the right ways to assist with moving towards freedom.
And, right, Chris, once you practice the behavior change, it's not a behavior change, it's a behavior. The transformation
right.
is that you
yeah.
do it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that we do, what is the word? We are transformed at some point.
Right, yeah. I do go to bed on time, and yeah. I do record before I eat.
Yeah, they become habits, actually. And actually, how's that said? It's they're there when we're not, in some form.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he talks about that sometime. It's just, always a blessing. Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Marianne from Vancouver, Canada.
Hey, Marianne.
Hey. I've had the best workshop on this focus. I was able to see a lot more about the process, identifying all the personality aspects and their worldviews and their stories. And out of that came something about how I view myself. And what I recognized was I have this tenderness towards nature and Yeah, trees, plants, birds, all that. And that touches my heart. And I thought, why couldn't I, since I'm not separate, why couldn't I just treat myself with that reverence for life? So that was my, I think that was my big insight. And so I made some recordings around that and have listened to them for the month. And yeah, so there's, I felt something shift there for me.
Yeah. Well, so what an interesting exploration, right? And it often is that which gets revealed when we get past the ego layer, right? The voices and the self-hate and the personalities and everything that is really our experience, to looking at what's beyond that. And that is the insight that's transformational, which is there's a tenderness towards so many aspects of life. How is it that that tenderness is sometimes not available to this aspect of life?
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a sense of that, Marianne? Or
yeah, no.
It
was a body heart connection. Like I could, I really felt the tenderness that I feel towards life, and I thought, I am part of this. This belongs to me too.
Well, wow. So that is so that is such a subtle place, right? Because what I think you're saying is that that tenderness is felt towards plants and birds and all of those things. But what you recognized is that the tenderness is an experience you're having in you. That's you. That's what this is. And that is so wonderful, because what we're conditioned to believe is, I am tender towards X. I'm not tender towards Marianne.
Yeah.
But to realize that Marianne is tenderness, that's a completely different experience.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was definitely a heart, a feeling in the heart. I'm
yes.
even touching my heart as I talked about it, because one of the aspects of personality that I kind of watch is that self-hate can masquerade as love. And, oh, I deserve this. This would be kind to my, you know, it can do a phony thing. And
yes.
So you can, say, end up eating candy when, so it's kind of one of those, I noticed it in a couple other places, focus, is that it's a process where you have to be really careful, because that self-hate can pretend it's love, but it when you feel that, when I felt that tenderness, that feels more like a different kind of love. It's not
absolutely.
So,
it's not egocentric.
Yeah. So that
right?
was yeah. So that was kind of
mind blowing.
Yeah. So it's that, I feel like this. Finally, I'm getting able to see the process a bit clearer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To feel the difference between, so two things, right? One, that conditioning which would maintain separation in the subject-object relationship. I feel tenderness towards, but I don't feel tender towards that place. And that the conversation that would cause you to indulge or do something. So on both directions of the duality, right? Oh, you deserve that piece of candy, so let's eat it, even though it's not, even though you have blood sugar issues, right?
Yeah.
It's not good for you. Or I'm going to deny myself something because I love this human being. I can't say something to hurt them. And so that way, in that smoke and mirrors way in which you're convinced that what you're doing is out of a sense of care, which actually only maintains the ego and sacrifices the human being. That's a very different process than love and tenderness, which has no separation in it.
Yeah, and so I feel like this recording, one of the recordings I made, is about my reverence for life, and it's and I'm included in that reverence.
Yes.
And so operating from reverence is a different position than operating from ego self-love.
Yes.
Which is a boondoggle.
Yes. One's personal, the other's impersonal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I just have to echo what everybody says. You know, I learned so much from Sangha. I learned so much from having a focus to examine and a process to discover. And I, of course, feel so much gratitude.
Yeah. It's such a wonderful practice.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. Gassho.
Thank you, Marianne. Ms. Winnie, I think we've got time for one more. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Chris. This is Bev calling from Kentucky.
Hey, Bev.
Well, I'm just so happy to be on the call, and I mean, I don't even know what to say because everything that I've felt and think has been said in this call today. But the biggest change that I see for me as I have grown in my practice and my awareness is that I was conditioned that a celebration was taking off from my, quote, real life, you know, that I just eat, drink, and be merry and do whatever and start tomorrow. And I don't think that way anymore. So that is something to celebrate. I just am so, you know, I want to, as everyone has expressed, it's just a celebration to get up and be able to move through the world each day. So and that's becoming more and more my experience. So I'm very thankful for that.
Oh, that's so beautifully said, right, Bev? That it's so indicative of an ego process as well. It's what we were talking about with Sharon. What you're doing can't be done in an attitude of reverence or an attitude of celebration or an attitude of excitement. You have to take away from the drudgery of your life in order to find an occasion to celebrate, and that occasion it usually implies going unconscious. I would do the things that I would not normally do. I would indulge in ways I would not normally indulge. You know, I wouldn't indulge. And that constitutes a celebration. And it's such a takeover of something that doesn't have to be that way. And what you're pointing to is, wow, the celebration is the miracle of my existence, that I wake up in the morning and I'm alive and my life is my celebration. I go about it with that attitude of, oh, wow, I'm so grateful for everything, and I appreciate this. And in other words, you're pointing us to a process of celebration, not the content of a celebration.
And it's happened very gradually. My birthday was this week. So, of course, a birthday is, in my life, in the past, in my experiences, that's really a day to just take off, you know. And I woke up and I thought, you know, people kept asking me, and I just wanted to do what I usually do. I'm finding when I take care of me and I walk and I sit and I eat well, and I didn't keep track of how many people, you know, typically you keep track of, oh, who wished me and did people give me gifts. And none of that happened, and I just had, I mean, I had a lot of well wishes through the day. It was lovely. But I just thought, I just want to have a present day. That's the best birthday present I could have, and it was just there naturally, and I know that's a result of my practice.
Yes, we stop, it falls away, right, Bev? All of this, all of these conditioned notions of what would make me happy and what would make me feel special and what would make me feel loved, that when we have that, we're not leaving, it's that place where I have, the contentment is the absence of longing in me.
Yes.
And when I'm not indulging the movement away from life.
And when I wasn't looking and keeping count of who, I probably got more well wishes and more attention, but it just didn't matter. It was just like, well, how nice, you know, how nice of you to give me this little gift of your attention. It was just a whole different way to look at it. And I'm just so thankful for all these people and how everyone in the Sangha and how they share and that, you know, this practice does work. And I'm thankful
for that. It does work. It does work because that's the transformation. So having a birthday and knowing how my experience of that shift allows me to actually experience the benefit of practice and see what has fallen away in that quiet contentment of and that quiet satisfaction. Because there is no attention on moving away from on what will give something to me. It's I already have it.
Right. That's it.
And
exactly
from there, I can
appreciate
everything that is given.
Exactly. So thank you so much, Gosho, to everyone. And I'm just very grateful for this Sangha and this practice. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Bev. We'll echo that sentiment. So grateful for the Sangha and this practice.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Bev. And it does seem, Ashwini, that the celebrations that life has in mind for us are way beyond anything that we could come up with on our own.
So true.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. In our assignment for today, do your daily practice. Take some time to make a recording that captures what you've learned from working with this month's content focus. Perhaps start a folder that allows easy access for review. All right, and does that mean we get a new topic tomorrow? We get a new focus tomorrow, is that right?
That's right. How exciting.
Yes, indeed so. So, all right, we have that to look forward to Saturday and starting in on both Saturday and Sunday and coming back on Monday. So, all right, thank you very much, Ashwini, and everyone.
Thank you, Chris.
Matt, till the next, and go happy.
Go happy.
All right, bye-bye.